off was species rather than height. It was more a case of both of them orbiting round each other. If he let go, it was an even chance that the target would be hit by a spiky ball or an unexploded Corporal Nobbs. Neither prospect pleased.
"Put it down, Nobby," hissed Colon. "I don't think they're going to make trouble."
"I can't let go, Fred."
Carrot sucked his knuckles. "Do you think that comes under the heading of minimum necessary force, Sergeant?" he asked. He appeared to be genuinely worried.
Fred, what will I do?"
Nobby was a terrified blur. When you're swinging a spiky ball on a chain, the only realistic option is to keep moving. Standing still is an interesting but brief demonstration of a spiral in action.
"Is he still breathing?" said Colon.
"Oh, yes, I pulled the punch."
"Sounds minimum enough to me, sir," said Colon loyally.
"Fred!"
Carrot reached out absent-mindedly as the Morning Star rocketed past and caught it by the chain. Then he threw it against the wall where it stuck. "You men in there in the watch house," he said, "come out now." 5 men emerged, edging cautiously around the prone captain. "Good. Now go and get Coalface."
"He's in a bit of a bad temper, Corporal Carrot."
"On account of being chained to the floor," volunteered another guard.
"Well now," said Carrot, "the thing is, he's going to be unchained right now."
The men shuffled their feet nervously, possibly remembering an old proverb that fitted the occasion very well. It runs, "He who chains down a troll, especially taking advantage of the situation to put the boot in a few times, had better not be the one who unchains it again." Carrot nodded.
"I won't ask you to do it, but I might suggest you take some time off," he said.
"Quorum is very nice at this time of year," said Sergeant Colon helpfully. "They've got a floral clock."
Since you mention it, I've got some sick leave coming up," one of them said.
"I should think that's very probable, if you hang around," said Carrot. They sidled off as fast as decency allowed. The crowd hardly paid them any attention. There was still a lot more mileage in watching Carrot.
"Right," said Carrot. "Detritus, you take some men and go and bring out the prisoner."
"I don't see why," a dwarf began.
"You shut up, you horrible man," said Detritus, drunk with power.
You could have heard a guillotine drop. In the crowd, a number of different-sized, knobbly hands gripped a variety of concealed weapons. Everyone looked at Carrot. That was the strange thing, Colon remembered later. Everyone looked at Carrot. Gaspode sniffed a lamppost.
"I see. 3-legged Shep has been ill again," he said, "and old Willy the Pup is back in town."
To a dog, a well-placed hitching post or lamp is a social calendar.
"Where are we?"
said Angua. Foul old Ron's trail was hard to follow. There were so many other smells.
"Somewhere in the sheds," said Gaspode. "Sweetheart Lane smells like..."
He snuffled across the ground.
"Ah, here he is again, the little..."
"Hello, Gaspode."
It was a deep, hoarse voice, a kind of whisper with sand in it. It came from somewhere in an alley.
"How's your friend, Gaspode?"
There was a snigger.
"Ah," said Gaspode. "Hi, guys."
2 dogs emerged from the alley. They were huge. Their species was indeterminate. One of them was jet black and looked like a pit bull terrier crossed with a mincing machine. The other looked like a dog whose name was almost certainly Butch. Both top and bottom set of fangs had grown so large that he appeared to be looking at the world through bars. He was also bow-legged, although it would probably be a bad, if not terminal, move for anyone to comment on this. Gaspode's tail vibrated nervously.
"These are my friends, Black Roger and..."
"Butch," suggested Angua.
"How did you know that?"
"A lucky guess," said Angua. The 2 big dogs had moved around so that they were on either side of them.
"Well, well, well," said Black Roger. "Who's this then?"
"Angua," said Gaspode. "She's a..."
"A wolfhound," said Angua. The 2 dogs paced around them hungrily.
"Big Fido know about her,"
said Black Roger.
"I was just..."
"Well now,"
said Black Roger,
"I reckon you'd be wanting to come with us. Guild night tonight."
Sure, said Gaspode. "No problem there."
I could certainly manage either of them, Angua thought, but not both at once. Being a werewolf meant having the dexterity and jaw power to instantly rip out a man's jugular. It was a trick of her father's that had always annoyed her mother, especially when he did it just before meals. But Angua had never been able to bring herself to do it. She'd preferred the vegetarian option.
"Hello,"
said Butch in her ear.
"Don't you worry."